is Ralph Kermit Winterode, the second with the Ralph Winterode Show. Calling in from Alaska. They just got the internet up, so boy, that was just in the nick of time. And I have a guest today, Nancy Grant out of Florida. Is she on the line yet?
Hello?
Okay, yeah, hi, Nancy, you're there.
Hi, yes, I'm here.
Okay, would you fill us in on, give us a description of who you are and what you are and what you've been accomplishing so we can kind of get a background of you, and then we'll proceed forward here on the unlawful practice of law.
Okay, well, thank you for having me on the show. I started out originally, it's a long story. I really don't know where to start. Let me just start in.
Well, just tell us about you and what you've been up to so we can, we need to get the background here so we can understand what you're trying to accomplish and what they've been doing and who you are.
Okay. I guess I call myself a civil rights activist. I actually started calling myself that back in the year 2000, but my civil rights convictions started in 1984. Originally, I had my children taken in 1984 illegally. My story went on national television, to make a long story short. It was a Coalition for Religious Freedom in Washington, D.C., came to Florida and aired my, videoed my story and put it on a national documentary. And the judge, his name is Judge James Parker, gave my children back the next morning. It was Yes, it was a 6 month long battle. And because
what were
of
they,
that.
What was. Go ahead
me?
Then.
Go ahead. What?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
What I was accused of, I was my brother-in-law. It's just a long, detailed story, but I wasn't doing anything wrong. And so they gave the children back, and then I finished raising my children. They were 2, 4, 6, and 9 when they were taken from me, and I wouldn't sign the state's papers back then to get them back, and so. They were put in an orphanage, and then when the documentary came out, the judge gave them back. The same judge that I went before in booking when I was arrested, that was the same judge that took my children.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So actually in the year 2000, I decided to run for state representative, and I formed the Christian Party. The Ten Commandments is its constitution. And I ran under the Christian Party for state rep, and then in 2002 I ran for governor as a write-in, and 2003 I became the jailer-in-chief of Jail for Judges of Florida. 2004 I ran for county judge, and 2005 I formed the Florida Pro Se Bar, and that's what started the unlicensed practice of law thing, because according to the Florida Bar, nobody can form a corporation that has where you advocate that you know anything about the law. So, you know, as it turns out, the Florida Pro Se Bar prepared some documents called emergency motions to dismiss, and they were sent to the jail, the local jail, to inmates that had been warehoused up to 3 years. I did research from the year 2000 and just continued to understand what was going in our courthouse and jail and in our all three branches of our government. I got quite a panorama.
Okay, we're going to break. I hear the music.
Do you know that you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar power generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar power generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000-watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073 or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year that is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner at RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Well, we're back from break, and this is Ralph Kermit Winterode out of Alaska, and I have Nancy Grant. She is just giving us a background, and she's in Florida. Go ahead, Nancy, with give us more of what you were trying to accomplish down there in Florida.
Okay. Well, it's a long story, but I started seeing in the year 2000, I had a son in jail. My son that was in jail was affected by 1984. I always have to explain him as a mother. He wouldn't, when he was taken from me in 1984 for that 6 months, I got him back, and as the years went by, my son, Ben, he wouldn't spend the night with anyone until he was almost 16 years old. He wouldn't even spend the night with his grandmother. He was just insecure from what happened to him. And I remember his grandmother calling and saying, Ben's going to spend the night, and if he wants to come home in the middle of the night, we're going to bring him. And I was really surprised. So by the time he was 18, I kind of had lost him. He was into drugs, and it was a mess. And so he did get arrested, and I noticed at that time, it was my first exposure to the judicial branch, that this is before I even decided to run for state representative, that there was no defense being built for anyone. I mean, I didn't see anyone else when I started looking at other files. So as the years went by, I started collecting and researching and keeping documents and asking questions and writing letters. And so by the year 2006, I saw it, that no defense was being built for anyone going into this jail in my county. No defense. 100% of the people that go into the jail and they're given a public defender or a private attorney, they hire a private attorney, there is no defense. And 100% is not an exaggeration. So then I started figuring, well, okay, what are all these attorneys doing? So they're filing a notice of appearance, and they're filing to participate in discovery, which if anyone out there doesn't know what it is, that means that they want what the state has against their client, the inmate. So the state will produce the evidence that they might have against the person. So if the person says, well, this evidence isn't true because I have this witness and I have this person that can say I wasn't there at that time, or here's my evidence that I'm being falsely accused, that's not going to happen. So what the racketeering, once I saw that what was going on, and I also saw and have evidence of closed door hearings. Of course, forced plea deals, because everybody's getting forced to take a plea deal, and they're warehousing inmates, and they're also holding bogus trials, which means that the inmate will be brought to a hearing, and then they'll be told, well, we're going to go to trial Monday. Maybe it's like a Thursday. Next Monday, we're going to trial. If you go to trial and you lose, you're going to get 50 years or 30 years. So the inmate's offered 10 years, so he takes the plea. But when you actually would examine the docket, there's no trial that was, neither the prosecution or the defense was going to go to trial. So
well, that's just lovely, isn't it?
Yeah. The other thing that happens is that is the one-sided trials, prosecution side only. And that's what happened in my case. We did have a trial. They tried the bogus trial trick on me, and it didn't work. And then they tried to, you know, I prepared for my second trial. I was actually had three trial dates. I was arrested June 29th, 2006. And the unlicensed practice of law that I was charged with, they said that they were charging me with this because the nonprofit corporation I formed in 2005 began sending these emergency motions to dismiss for these inmates to sign, and they could become pro se. They could represent themselves because they weren't hearing from their attorneys. They were just being warehoused. So I'm sort of jumping back and forth here, but when I found out and I saw that I discovered through my research that there was racketeering, closed-door hearings, forced plea deals, bogus trials, warehousing inmates, I blew the whistle on it on March 22, 2006. I was actually on the witness stand, and I accused the judge and all the attorneys of all that. And so they had me arrested on June 29th and put a gag order on me. Said I couldn't talk. The judge, the same judge that took my kids in 84 now, he says I can't talk. If I talk to any inmates or any inmate family members about anything going on at the jail or courthouse, he'll revoke my $50,000 bond and put me in jail. So,
so that was from March 20th to June 29th of the same year, 2006.
Yeah, March 22nd is when I blew the whistle and I announced to them what I knew. And then I was arrested 3 months later. And that's when they put the gag order on me. So I had, on October 30th, they tried the bogus trial thing. I went to court at the end of September. And then at the sometime in the beginning of October, my friend called me in Arcadia and said, do you know you have a two-week trial scheduled for October 30th? And I was like, no. She says, well, you do. And so what I found out was that the state issued 44 subpoenas for a trial for me for October 30th, and it was to try to scare me into taking a plea deal. But it didn't work. And they didn't even, the court, the judge never even ordered a trial. So that just sort of slipped by. Then they set another trial. They did set a trial date for March 5th, and I was ready for that trial. We went to court on February 27th, and I argued my case and exposing all the horrible things they had been doing, the state, trying to prevent me from building a defense so that I could present a defense at my March 5th trial. And when they saw that, the judge saw that I was preparing, he threw the trial into August 20th. So by that time, I was wearing down and getting broke, you know, because it was so expensive. And
did you have an attorney at this time, or are you doing this all yourself?
I was pro se on February 27th when I went to court. The judge appointed a standby counsel for me. What actually happened was the attorney's name is Andrew Mooney. And I found him because he supports judicial reform. And I hired him to walk into court with me on October 17th because if I'd have walked in there pro se, they would have ordered a trial date and just ramrodded me, you know. So I had him just for that month. And then I went back pro se to prepare for the March 5th trial. Then they moved the trial to August 20th. Now, you have to remember, too, that all this time they had not produced who I harmed. Originally on the information that the state attorney's named Donald Hartery, he submitted 45 people in his original information. And I needed to know who I harmed, because there's got to be a victim here. You know, it's a third-degree felony, 5 years in prison. So he wouldn't name who I harmed. So I did ask for, it's called a bill of particulars. I want exactly who I harmed, when I harmed them, how I harmed them, and all that, but they wouldn't produce that. The only thing he did was he amended his original information and formatted it in a different way and had me arrested the second time. I was arrested again on March 5th for the same indictment. And then
now, you said information. There was never any grand jury involved in this?
Oh, no. No grand jury. This is just, it's like a coup.
Who signed who was the person that signed the information?
There's an attorney named Susan Wright. She is one of their agents, I call it now. She's an attorney. She's bar licensed, but she does not have a physical address. So she's been working with the lieutenant that collected the information. She signed the actual, she made a complaint at the sheriff's department in DeSoto County that I was practicing law, and that because some of her clients had signed the emergency motion to dismiss because they were not hearing from her. They would go for months on end and write letters and try to call, and they were just left in the dark. They called it a dungeon. They were languishing in jail. They were being warehoused. And they were glad to get the emergency motion to dismiss, and they were glad to sign it, and there was a waiver with it. That was back in May of 2006, before I was arrested.
Now I got a question again. The actual document that was filed into the court that originated the charges was an information. Is that correct?
Yes, that was.
And whose signature was on that information?
That was the attorney that signed the complaint.
Well, I'll just tell you something right now, and then we'll get back to it later, but only a public officer of the state of Florida can sign information.
Well, he did, yes.
Attorney.
Well, I thought you were asking about the complaint that the attorney made the complaint at the sheriff's department, and then the state attorney has information that he signed. That it is
it's the state attorney signed the information then.
Yes, I thought you were asking about the original complaint started with a.
No.
Okay, yeah, the information was signed by the state attorney, Donald Hartery. That was the information that was like 45 names, and it listed all these people and, you know, what my involvement was with them, and most of it was inaccurate.
Go on ahead.
Yeah, when I had my trial, which was August 20th, the state brought around 17 inmates from around the state of Florida, and every one of them said that I had not harmed them, that I gave them hope, that I encouraged, and some of them even said that I had spoken with them and that I encouraged them to believe in God and have faith and pray, and that I had not harmed them. So they were also consistent with their testimony that they were in jail and they were not hearing from their attorneys, and they were being held there incognito, and that they were happy to get...
Okay, hold that thought right there. Stop. I hear the music came back for another short segment, and then we'll have a long segment. So stay tuned.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Do you know that you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar power generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar power generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000-watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073 or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
This is Ralph Kermit Winterroad, Ralph Winterroad Show out of Alaska. I've got Nancy Grant on out of Florida, and we're talking about the unlawful practice of law and finding out just how corrupt the Florida judiciary is and the attorneys that are associated. Why don't you go on with your story here, and then we'll get to some other issues here addressing what you're talking about.
I don't know what the thought was that I was supposed to hold, but what I want to talk about just at the moment is the unlicensed practice of the law and that I'm charged with is a Florida statute 454.23. The statute itself was amended in 2004 from a misdemeanor to a third degree felony. When I was arrested, I researched and found in the Florida Constitution, Article 5, Section 15, that the Florida Supreme Court, it states in there that the Florida Supreme Court has exclusive jurisdiction over unlicensed practice of law. So, of course, I submitted a motion to dismiss claiming that this court that I'm being prosecuted in, the 12th Circuit, doesn't have jurisdiction to prosecute me. It was dismissed, but, and they didn't. They were just going to get me no matter what I submitted. So I did file in the federal court a civil rights action, which is ongoing still. But I did find out also in the course of this year that the statute itself is not only the chapter is taken, the chapter itself is occupations of attorneys. And the 454.23 is the penalty statute, not the charging statute of that chapter. And also I found out when I was arrested, I wrote to the Bureau of Archives in Florida, and I wanted to know the history of Chapter 454. And it started in 1925 with a legislative act. And the legislative act created a board of law examiners that was to govern attorneys. So what I found, and it states right in the Act that it's a remedial law, meaning that that remedial law is for a certain group of people, attorneys. So it doesn't apply to me. And then also I found in 1968 that this Florida the Florida Constitution was revised, and the authority was transferred from the Board of Law Examiners to the Supreme Court of Florida. So the statute became repealed. So what I have complained about in the federal court is that, number one, if this statute exists, when you read it, it's vague and overbroad. It does not define exactly what is unlicensed practice of law, and it violates my First Amendment right to free speech. Number two, if it's a valid law, then I should be prosecuted in the Florida Supreme Court according to the Constitution of Florida. It should be the Florida Bar versus Nancy Grant. And then thirdly, I'm claiming that it's a repealed statute anyway, so they're going to have to deal with it. So what I'm throwing out there is that the Florida Bar is de facto. It really doesn't have any standing. That's another issue. But that they're using this one statute to attack any person in the state of Florida that interferes with their monopoly. And if this statute goes down, I can set a sign outside my door that says Florida Pro Se Bar Incorporated and charge $20 to prepare a legal document for somebody. And what is that going to do to the attorney that charges $800? So
he's going to be down there trying to put you out of business.
Well, yeah, and they have actually, you know, when I was prosecuted this year, it wasn't Nancy Grant State of Florida versus Nancy Grant. It was State of Florida versus Nancy Grant doing business as the Florida Pro Se Bar. So I've established a nonprofit corporation with a division of corporations, and I wanted the Florida Pro Se Bar to be a focal point where people that wanted to learn to file pro se could get information, links to other websites that produce information about learning to file pro se, getting case laws, learning how to prepare documents, and also to provide an access for prisoners that are held incognito to access the courts. And, you know, it was very a violent attack. You know, this trial of mine was, I'm paying for a billboard to be put up in my county, because we've been talking about this all over the country. People have been calling the media, and the media refuses to expose the court's racketeering. So I'm paying for a billboard to be put up about it. But at my trial, the state presented their witnesses for two and a half days, Monday, Tuesday, and a half a day Wednesday. Wednesday, before we broke for lunch, the judge wanted to know who I was going to present for witnesses. But when I came back after lunch, he would not allow it. He would not allow me to present one witness. He would not allow the statute that I was charged with, 454.23, to be read to the jury.
It's a penalty statute. So, see, this is the same problem that you run into with the IRS and others. So where's the law?
Right.
Where's
there
the
is
law
no law
that addresses it?
Yeah, it's just a coup. It's just a takeover. They actually, in my trial, the state attorney created jury instructions that defined unlicensed practice of law. So he actually created a definition, as the legislative body would do, and then the judge signed it into law, as the executive branch, as the governor would do.
Okay, hold that thought, and we'll be back here. We'll be back with a longer segment. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our Renewable Energy Solar Program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our Renewable Energy Solar System converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year that is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner at RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Morning, neighbor.
Hey, shouldn't you be at work?
I am. As a matter of fact, I pulled another all-nighter.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Well, at least I'm making money 24/7, but I never have to go to work.
So what do you do?
Not very much at all now. About a month ago, I heard about this website. It's got a funny name. It's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
That is funny.
Yeah, you can earn $1,200 to $12,000 a week starting the very first week.
Oh, is that how you bought that new mower?
Yeah, and the motorcycle I've always wanted, too. You should log on. Find out how you can become financially free.
So what was that website?
It's www.DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Just wait, I'll go get a pen so I can write that down.
You don't need to write it down. It's easy to remember. DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Yeah, DidYouRobBillGates.com. That is easy.
It's easy, and the money is awesome.
Ralph Kermit Winterroad II, back with the Ralph Winterroad Show out of Alaska, a true seeker of the far north. And I have Nancy Grant on talking about the unlawful practice of law. And we have a caller, so we'll go ahead and take a call from Georgia, and then we'll continue on. George, you're still there from Florida?
Yes. I kind of understand where she's come from as a racket. About 1994, 1995, you talk about judges and prosecutors trying to fix a trial. I sat on a jury, and after two or three days of testimony and everything, the judge fixed the trial. They had all the state's evidence being brought forth. Yet this couple who was on the trial, who was on trial for their lives because they've been accused of a sex crime, and they had witnesses, they had their experts too, and the judge never brought them forward. And the judge's instructions were to only base the verdict on the evidence that we had missed. And he admitted into the court. But the only thing that the judge never counted on, it was that the foreman of the jury was a retired JAG officer. And he told us we can disregard the judge. And he said, I'm not voting for this couple to be guilty because the judge never allowed the couple's evidence in to exonerate or bring reasonable doubt in the case. And yet,
so did
I
they
see
win
this.
Or not?
What's that?
Who won the case? Did they get convicted or not?
Not guilty.
Not guilty, huh?
Because it was on the conclusion that the judge would not allow the defense's witnesses or experts to come forward and be admitted into the trial where we can decide if there's reasonable doubt or not.
How did you know that the judge would not allow the expert witness?
Well, because every time they bring forth evidence, the prosecutors are going for the judge, and they wouldn't let him in. And we were just seeing the language between the prosecutor and the judge and seeing how they were interacting.
It's the jury was moved from the courthouse in my case to the county commissioner's building. That's where they convened. I've had a lawsuit against the county commissioners for over a year. So when the jury came back in, there was something that happened because they wouldn't look up.
They wouldn't look up?
They wouldn't look up. They were all looking down like they'd been threatened. That's what I thought. Their mannerisms, their whole countenance had completely changed because they were looking at me in the eye, and they were giving me a little crack in the smile of, you know, a little smile or a little tiny wink or something, and they didn't like what was going on. But there was something that happened when they were moved from the courthouse to the county commissioner's building. I can't prove it, but because of the way that they came back and the way they looked as soon as they walked in, I knew something was wrong.
People are very easily threatened these days.
Yes, yes, and it wouldn't take
problem.
A whole lot.
That's
well,
a
problem. Well, I say it, but I
okay,
kind of
thank you, George.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No, I understand what he says, that when he was on the jury, that he saw the something going on between the state attorney and the judge. In my trial, the jury had no idea. The judge would move the jury out of the courtroom, and then we would hack it out, about the me not having a witness, and the jury never saw any of that. He kept moving the jury out of the room, out of the courtroom, every time there was a little disagreement.
Have you ever looked at the professional code of conduct for attorneys in Florida?
Oh, yeah, and they're violating all of them. They're violating many things. There's just so much. The state attorney was screaming at some of the inmate witnesses that he brought because they wouldn't say anything bad about me. One of the Gregory Tejerina, he's a Spanish guy, he even said that Judge Parker threatened him with 150 years in prison if he didn't take the 10-year plea right then.
Wow.
And so some of the ones that were sentenced to life said they didn't have a defense. And I could certainly understand now how that could be.
Are you familiar with this particular rule? This is 4.1.2. It's the same in almost all of the bar, where it says the lawyer shall abide by the client's decision after consultation as to, most of them have three in Florida, they only have three things that the attorney has to abide by, which is the plea to be entered, whether to waive a jury trial, and whether the client will testify. Are you aware of that?
Well, yeah, I testified. I was the only one allowed to testify.
No, but what I'm saying is this is the way they control the attorneys because in a case which is in Florida when they brought on the integrated bar, which is defined every – this is out of a case here of 40 South 2D902 back in 1949.
Uh-huh.
And they said that in this case, the integrated bar movement was initiated in this country about 35 years ago by the American Judicature, J-U-D-I-C-I-A-T-U-R-E, Society. And that particular entity here is on the Internet, and they just happened to come along about the year 1913. Isn't that an interesting concept about when we were getting rid of the Federal Reserve and all the several states and all of these others? And you can go on the Internet at ajs.org.
Yeah, it's quite a takeover. Yeah, the
and,
plea deal.
This, go ahead. Go ahead. Still there?
I'm here. You said go ahead.
Okay. Yeah,
well, the plea deal system started a long time ago, and it's racketeering. That's what they're doing.
Let me give you a little food for thought here and see what your take on some of these issues are. There's no doubt they want to call themselves that they are officers of the court, right?
Yes.
And it says they are not under the law, state, or county officers. Now, this, again, is in this 1949 case. So they're not officers of the state of Florida. They're not county officers. They are officers of the court.
Mm-hmm.
Well, therein lies a major problem that most people are not aware of. If they hold no public office, and a public office, powers and duties can only be created by the legislature or by the Constitution of Florida.
Yes.
Okay, so now as they are admitted to be officers of the court, what that means then, because the legislature or the Constitution did not create the office with powers and duties, it means they are merely ministerial, administrative flunkies under the absolute control of the Supreme Court rules and regulations of the bar members, of which they are all a member. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes. And
okay, so now that they're all administrative members, ministerial duties, because they have no office,
right?
Their oath of office to the Constitution of the United States and to the state of Florida is irrelevant. They have no office.
Right.
This is one of the biggest games going on. Employees, ministerial duties, oath of office, when you have no office, is irrelevant. I could do an oath of office, but I had no office, powers and duties from the people.
Well, and when they have the, I understand what you're saying, but at the same time, when I walk in there and say, you have no office, this is administrative, you know, you're not officers of the court, and repeat what you said, and try to walk out of there, because they have control, if I tried to walk out of there, the judge would have me arrested. I mean, it's just not going to happen.
Let me back up here. They are officers of the court. As officers of the court, they have no office created by the Constitution or by the legislature. That means they have no judicial power.
Right, and they don't recognize the Constitution. The judge announced the first day when the court started that there will be no First Amendment arguments in this courtroom.
You have any idea why?
Because the First Amendment argument was about the freedom of speech, which is about the statute that I was charged with. That is the argument that could destroy the statute, that they can't tell me what I can write and what I can speak. They can't control that. Not supposed to. It's
a
violation of my
story.
Freedom of speech and to write.
Let me give you a little story. Listen and see what you get gleaned out of this when I get through. Now, you think that your inalienable rights come from the Creator. Can we agree on that?
Yes.
Okay. So if anybody said they came from somewhere else, you would say, no, not going to happen. My inalienable rights from the Creator. Now, the next statement that I would make, that we have given a limited delegation of power to the several states and to the grant to the United States. We have given some of the power to these people for a lawful government to govern. Is that not true?
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, so now we've established two main essential elements of where I'm heading. And the closest thing that I can establish to try to get some understanding of this, and I'm going to ask you a leading question. I'm going to set you up. I'm going to tell you. Are you a citizen of the United States?
Well, I was born in this country.
Okay, but are you a citizen of the United States? Are you a registered voter?
I don't vote. I am a registered voter, but I've quit voting.
Mm-hmm. Well, Florida has an interesting thing because I checked the voter registration, and they're playing a little ruse down there trying to cover it up, but I'm not going to get into that until I lay the groundwork. Here is the premise of the story. We've agreed the inalienable rights come from the Creator, and we've agreed that there's a limited delegation of the power to the several states and to the government of the United States for our government, because we want to have a lawful, peaceful government that will defend us when required, and we will support the same. Here's the game. If you entered into
a portal into the Land of Oz. Now, the Land of Oz is a fictional land. It's a fiction, right? And in this fictional world, there is the script. The script writers are the court, the Supreme, Congress, and the legislator and the courts. Now, these guys are the script writers. And in this, you are taking on a status called a citizen of the United States. Now, that is a federal law specifically defined that is conclusive and legal evidence. Now, the first thing that enters into, if you were in the Land of Oz and you have a fictional character and the script writers, can you in any way win when the script writers are Congress, the court, the attorneys, and the legislators? Is there any way to win if you're the fictional character and they're the script writers or screenwriters? Do you think there's any way to win?
No, not unless I exercise that I'm what they call sovereign, that I...
No, you have to exit the Land of Oz, the fantasy world, this play, this fiction, and you have to get back to reality where the creator is the source of your inalienable rights. Because in a fiction, you don't have them. Now I'm going to shock you, because I seriously doubt that you have heard this. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. Few people haven't, and very few understood it. Congress, after the Civil War, in 1866, created the Civil Rights Act. They created a fiction in law called a citizen of the United States. It sounds deliciously correct, and who could repudiate something sounding so nice? The problem is it has a definitive meaning, meaning, and it's in Title 42, 1981, 1982, and 1988. And in that, it says, Congress is granting to you, Nancy Grant, the right to own personal and private property, the right to vote, the right to enter into contracts, the right to sue and be sued, and to have the same rights as enjoyed by white citizens. Were you aware of that?
Yeah.
You were?
Yeah.
Well, isn't that not shocking? Because the you don't understand what it means, though, do you?
Well, I understand. It's just that I guess you have to step into a, by faith, step into a somewhere where God gives you the authority. And when you go in there and tell the judge that they don't have any authority over you, over me, that they would have to relinquish that authority just because
you have a problem, though. See, these guys... There's a rebuttable presumption created because you have a driver's license. Most people do. They don't know it's not their true name, but that's another story. But there's a rebuttable presumption that everybody is a citizen of the United States, and they have your signature attesting to same.
What would you do if you were in my shoes?
Well, one of the things that we're working on right now, and we're going to be challenging the civil side in Alaska this week, and are going to be challenging the criminal down in Florida next week, is the fact that I am not a citizen of the United States because only authority granted to Congress is to have a uniform rule of naturalization.
Now, well, I don't have any papers showing that I'm a citizen of this country. I cannot prove I am.
Yes, you are. You are, because if you are born here, you're called an American citizen.
Well,
that's somebody that gets...
Okay, so what would you do if you were in my shoes? I didn't get an answer.
That's what I'm leading up to. You would put in by affidavit what your status is and what you are not, and based on the fact that Congress has no authority to create a benefit. They have no authority to create a fiction in law and grant you the right to own personal and private property, the right to sue and be sued, and to have the right, same rights as enjoyed by white citizens. And Osborne versus the Bank of the United States specifically pronounced that as being true. The Constitution only gives them the right to have a uniform rule of naturalization. So Congress, after they did the 1866 Civil Rights Act, very quietly in 1870, created a naturalization act that said that all of the people of the African descent coming in would not have the same rights as enjoyed by white citizens. They would be equal in all respect because they would be naturalized.
And through the years, they've allowed everyone. That's the only authority that Congress had to control. They can't control the citizenship. Because if they control your status, the status, which is a fiction in law, then there is no way for you to win. And that's the problem that most people are, that we're all trapped in. Because we do not understand
I understand what you're saying, but I don't think I'm losing. I think I am winning. If I had not been found guilty, the information that all these prisoners testified to would have just disappeared. I had to be found guilty for this information to come out.
Okay, hold on just a minute here. We got hear the music, so we'll be back in a minute with your thoughts again. Hold on just a minute. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Do you know that you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar power generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar power generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000-watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073 or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
Rob Cummins, Winter Road, the second Ralph Winter Road show. We have Nancy Grant here, and she's taken a stand and been charged with the unlawful practice of law. And, of course, all you've been charged with, it looks like, is a penalty, and then they made the rest of it up as they were doing in the court. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. The jury instructions were created by Donald Hartery, the prosecutor. What he did was he took about 12 cases of Florida Bar versus Merriweather, Florida Bar versus Neiman, all these people that had been prosecuted in the Supreme Court by the Florida Bar, and he took excerpts from all their opinions and created a definition of unlicensed practice of law.
Sounds like he's a pretty good guy.
Well, he actually acted as a legislative body and created something, and then, like I said earlier, the judge signed it and said, this is what unlicensed practice of the law is, and then, of course, it was presented to the jury. Now, the jury had no way to know, because this charging statute, the Florida statute created by the legislators, was not read to the jury, so they had no way of knowing. Well, what I was saying was before that had I not been found guilty, my evidence, this whole thing would have just died. And I was back in 2003, I was helping prepare some documents for some people, parents that had their children taken away, and I was teaching them to file for themselves, and some of them were doing that. And so one of the attorneys got mad and filed a unlicensed practice of law complaint about me. His name is Drake Buckman. Now, we were hit with Hurricane Charley in 2004, and everything just stopped in this, you know, pretty well in this area for quite a long time. But eventually in 2005, I went to an unlicensed practice of law hearing in an attorney's office. It was the 12th Circuit Unlicensed Practice of Law Committee, made up about 10 attorneys and a few people from the public that are on this committee. So I went over there, and there was this three-hour interrogation. So what came about was a response, and they told me all the things I couldn't do. So, you know, when I got that, I wanted to know about all these case laws. Where did they get all these don't do this and don't do that? And it came from all those Florida Supreme Court case laws that eventually were the jury instructions. But in the trial, the state attorney told me, you've been told what you can't do. They told you exactly what you could not do, and you did that and even more. And I said, well, the Florida bar is not my conscience. Doesn't dictate my conscience. And none of those
cases.
Well,
the way that I've read some of the emails that I've sent out, I haven't read the jury instructions yet, but you couldn't even talk to anybody or provide any legal shirts or legal research or anything.
No, the jury instructions, correct. The jury instructions say that if you can do legal research for another person, you're practicing law. If for instance, it says if a prisoner contacts me and says, I need a document in the courthouse, can you get it and mail it to me? I'm practicing law.
Well,
yeah.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in a minute. I hear the end of the hour, and we'll be back. And if you got any questions, be sure and call in at 800-313-9443. And I'll be back after the break with Nancy Grant out of Florida.
It's true.